عظيم أما بعد، سورة تغابن in the 28th juz of the Holy Quran, the second ruku, Allah Pak speaks about certain advices. So I want to try to my best of ability to try and translate and explain a bit these ayat till 22 inshallah. Today, every person, Muslim or non-Muslim, is experiencing challenges. Everybody's challenge, test, difficulty is of a different nature. But nobody in this world has everything running smooth. If everything runs smooth for everybody, how are you going to appreciate paradise? And this world, Allah Ta'ala has made it a home, a room, an environment of conditions. Up, down, hot, cold, raining, windy, dry, different drought, floods, sick, healthy, rich, poor. So different conditions. This place, this world, if you have this mindset, inshallah 90% of our problems will be solved. That this world, Allah Ta'ala has made it for up and down. Nothing is going to be smooth. One day this, one day that. Today may be something small, tomorrow may be something big, etc., etc. So these ayat, inshallah, if we take to it, I'm holding the Quran Sharif in front, so nobody can say that I'm pulling from the pocket or I'm saying my own things. It's from the Quran direct. So if we open Surah Taghabun and look at the second ruku, those are the ayat that inshallah I'll try and translate today. So the first part of it, the beginning, Allah Pak says, "Ma asaba min musiba illa bi idhnillah." That challenges, calamities, difficulties are definitely going to come. "Ahasib al nas ayyutraku ayyakulu amanna wahum la yuftanun." Those who have iman will be tested more. But Allah Pak says, "Ma asaba min musiba illa bi idhnillah." First thing, basic, back to the basics. That when a challenge comes your way, first thing, go direct to Allah Rabbul Izzat. Sometimes, especially the women, they have this issue that if a plate of food came from the neighbor or from somebody, and next day if the head is paining, there's something which dal mein kalapan hai, there's some problem there. Oh, that's why, because you see what happened was that lady phoned yesterday. I know. Oh, this. Enemies of Islam, they have some plan and agenda and they want to wipe out and attack Islam. So Allah Pak says, first thing, remember, ma asaba min musiba illa bi idhnillah. Any challenge that comes your way needs the approval of Allah Rabbul Izzat. You have a manager who does the payments for the business. He'll put everything onto the system, but the boss will come and press the final button. Enter, now it'll go through. Anybody who is experiencing any challenge whatsoever, remember, I had the approval of Allah. Amantu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wa al-yawmil akhiri wa al-qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi min Allah ta'ala. So the basic foundation belief of ours, whatever comes our way, it didn't come because of the enemies of Islam. They have this big agenda, the new world order, and they want to take control of the world, and they want to have everybody into a global village, a virtual village, this, that, etc. Everything bi idhnillah. That's the first thing. If you accept this, that whatever I'm experiencing, it came from Allah, automatically Allah will give you the strength. You'll find it so much easier to deal with. So the first thing, when you are hit with any situation, stop everything, pause, that my Allah Rabbul Izzat put me here in this situation. It didn't happen in Islam, nothing happens coincident in Islam. Coincidence, nothing happens. Everything happens with the pre-planning of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Nothing is coincidence. Ittifaq se yehi huwa, koi cheez ittifaq se nahi hoti hai. Nothing happens coincident, accidentally. Allah willed it to happen. Allah planned it to happen. So the first thing, ma asaba min musiba, whatever condition you, first lesson, that believe, accept, talk to yourself, tell yourself, Allah send this to me. Allah send this to me. Now, you have this person you're going to visit. On a gush night, you're walking somewhere. You enter the yard. Big dog running to you. So this dog in all languages, with all tajweed, everything. This dog is not going to go. As you can continue talking to this dog as much as you want. This dog is not going to move. But if the owner just has to signal once, the dog immediately put his tail down and gone. Because who's the owner of the dog? The owner of the dog is the person, the owner of the hotel, and the dog is gone. When this calamity comes to us, no use talking to the calamity, approaching the calamity. Talk to Rabbul Alameen who sent this test to us. Go to Rabbul Alameen, talk to him direct. He sent it. So one hit, he will remove it. Allah Ta'ala put these sometimes, Alam Yatikum Nadir, to remind us, if things run smooth, we tend to forget Allah Ta'ala. Things go upside down, we have hiccups, we tend to think of Allah Ta'ala more. So a calamity, this is a very nice statement, a calamity which reminds you of Allah, which gets you closer to Allah, which reminds you of Allah, is better than a bounty and a favor which takes you away from Allah. So, ma asaba min musiba illa bi idnillah. The first advice of these ayat is, remember, whatever condition you find yourself in, it came from Allah, number one. Obviously, if something came from Allah, you know where it's going to be removed. Number two, وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهِ. Now, when is the next thing now? Okay, you accepted it came from Allah. Now, how do you know what to do next? How must you react? How must you respond? So Allah Pak is giving us such a beautiful advice. And if you look at, you can ask the ulama, there are many ulama here in the area who teach big kitabs, mashallah, ahadith kitabs. You can ask them, they will tell you. Books of ahadith, whether it's Kitabul Fitan or Ashratul Sa'a, Signs of Qiyamah. All the ahadith, or most of the ahadith, directly or indirectly, indicate that the fitnas coming before Qiyamah are going to be fitna of Iman. That the Iman will leave slowly but surely, the attack will be on Iman. So here Allah Pak says, وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ. Whoever made effort on his Iman, وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ. Whoever made effort on his Iman, because remember this challenge came from Allah Ta'ala. And why Allah wants to test you? Why this challenge came to you? To test your Iman. You buy your child something and you want to test him how much he loves you. You certain times throw different curveballs, bring this, buy that. Now you know he's preparing to go for a nice big tournament. And tell him, better, please man, help me, I just need to go. You just want to test whether he's really appreciative, he's loyal or not. Allah Pak tests us. To see that Iman, do we have the true Iman or not? So Allah Pak says, وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ. Whoever worked and made effort on his Iman, and that's the need of the hour. From now till Qiyamah, what unfolded 2 years ago, and the recent past, up to Qiyamah, is this going to get, it may get worse and worse. But these are all already mentioned in Quran and Hadith. It's all within the approval of Allah Ta'ala. And the only savior is, Allah Pak says it here, وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ. Make effort on your Iman, يَهْدِي قَلْبَهُ. He will guide that heart onto which steps to take next. وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِي قَلْبَهُ. Whoever has made effort on his Iman, Allah will guide him as to which steps to take next. I'm not saying it's not important to read salah, to give zakah, to fast the month of Ramadan, to go for hajj, etc. These are very important aspects. But you have two people. One is a person whose belief system, his iman, his yaqeen, his conviction is 100%. But he lacks ibadat, worship. His belief, his aqaid is 100%. But he lacks worship, salah, zakat, fasting, etc. is a bit weak. And you have another person. This person His belief system is not right. His yaqeen and conviction in Allah is not right. But he never misses, leave alone Faras Salah, he never misses even his tahajjud. He's reading 17 rakats for Isha. Charged, Salatul Duha, Salatul Ishraq, Awabin, every day. All he's doing so much, first serve behind the Imam. He's fasting Ramadan, 6 Shawwal, Monday, Thursday, Ayyami Bid, Dhul Hijjah, Muharram, number one. Charity you can't believe. Everything, all his actions are... But his belief system is incorrect. You tell me, looking at Quran and Hadith, which person has a stronger chance of entering paradise? The bottom line, the main underlining feature is Iman. If Iman is tainted, if Iman is polluted, if Iman is not of the required level, I'm afraid the chances in the next life are very slim. Allah Pak says, many ayat of Quran, many ahadith, that a person whose iman is incorrect can never enter paradise. So it's so important for us, would our acts of worship, that iman, very important. We tend to misunderstand or confuse it. We think if a person reading salah, and he's doing his fasting, and he's coming to the masjid, his iman is strong. No. In the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, people were reading salah behind Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but still they were classified as munafiqeen. They went out in the path of Allah, Suratul Munafiqun, Ghazwa ibn al-Mustaliq. They were in the path of Allah. Would Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but still they were munafiqeen. And inna al-munafiqeen fi al-dark al-asfal min al-nar. The munafiqeen will have the lowest level of paradise, the deepest level of paradise. So, very, very important. Now, I'm not going to ask you to answer me, but you yourself, you can think, when this fitna hit in 2020, you may have not seen it in this area much, with regards to the masjid. But in many other areas, people who are 5-time musallis, right next to the muaddin, very close to the imam in salah, never missed takbir-e-ula for so many years. The question arises, how come these people were prepared to give up their jamaat salah behind the imam with takbir-e-ula, which they never missed for many years, just at the announcement of a disbeliever for something which is invisible. Now what that tells us? That tells us that there is worship in place, but that underlying factor, that iman, that wasn't in place. And when Dajjal comes, Dajjali fitna, him and his fitnas that are coming before his arrival, are all linked with iman. At that time that iman is going to speak. That way you see nuksan, outwardly harm, that's where it's benefit. Where you saw outwardly you can't go to the masjid because it's going to cause harm, that's where it's benefit. It was like a carbon copy of the Dajjali fitna. As I say, you may have not seen it or experienced it here, but I have experienced it firsthand. That it was like a carbon print. And what was, so to say, beneficial to stay at home, that was harmful for our iman. That's what the Dajjali fitna is. The Dajjali fitna operates like that, opposites. You know how children, they play opposite games. The Dajjali fitna is the opposite game. They're playing opposites. If, for, you know how they have this adverts or the trailer things to just give a small, like a headline. That's the word, headline. So this was like a small introduction, a small like a curtain raiser. You know, when you have those jalsas, you have somebody curtain raiser. So that what we saw 2 years ago was a curtain raiser for the big Dajjali fitna. So many in the curtain raisers were taken aback. What's going to happen when the actual fitna comes? So Allah Pak says, وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهُ. That whoever made effort on iman, Allah will guide. Many people were confused. People who were controlling masajid, who felt that they were in charge of masjids, didn't know what to do. Why? Ifat and iman. Didn't know what decisions to make. If they listen to the imam, the police people are giving them trouble. They listen to the police, the imam is giving them uphill. What do they do? This is just one crossroad, one catch 22 situation. So when you are in this crisis, only a person who made effort on iman will know which way to turn, which step to take. Moving on, there's quite a few ayat here. Wallahu bi kulli shay'in aleem. Wallahu bi kulli shay'in aleem. When you make your decision also, and when you take your steps, Allah knows what's your intention behind. Don't come and bluff the Maulana and the Imam and say, the police are putting a lot of pressure, so we have to shut the masjid. You can say that, and you can have all your agendas in place. Wallahu bi kulli shay'in aleem. Allah knows everything. Allah knows whether you're staying at home because of laziness or you're staying at home because of whatever. Allah knows. Was that iman? Sahaba ikram, that iman when it's embedded in the heart, embedded deeply, it will force you, come with me. So, Allah knows everything. He knows the situation He put you in, and He won't test you beyond your ability. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. And He knows exactly which step you took and why. Now listen to the next part, very interesting. وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولُ. Now, the recent past, we were put in a catch-22 situation. It happened to me also. I was jammed against the wall. So you're put in a catch-22 situation. So what happens is, you have the law of the land, the law of the authorities, and you have the law of Islam. So now, that's like a catch-22. What do you do? If you uphold the law of Allah Ta'ala and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you're going to drop like a seesaw. You're going to drop the law of the land. If you uphold the law of the land, you're going to drop the law of Allah Ta'ala and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The principle in Islam, لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. You obey the law of the land. You follow authorities. You follow your husband, your parents, as long as it does not contradict the law of Allah Ta'ala Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When it contradicts the law of Allah Ta'ala Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, remember very well, Allah put you there to test you, who you're going to be more loyal to. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, when you put in this catch-22 situation, when you put in a catch-22 situation, and now you don't know which way to turn, what must you do? One side the law of the land, one side the law of Allah Ta'ala and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Eyes closed. Time of conflict, the law of Allah Ta'ala and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We are prepared to put our neck on the block in the court of the world, but we cannot risk putting ourselves in jail in Akhirat. We can give our lives for this world. They can imprison us. I'll just share one experience. When this thing happened, I was gone in Jamaat, I came back. So my blood pressure went right up. Eventually, the authorities got other people to phone and threaten me, so to say. Do you know you'll end up in jail? We're not going to bail you out. You're putting your life on the line. You're going to get locked up. So when the person phoned me, I said, go tell the trustee they can lock me up. I'd rather be locked up here than locked up there. You're going to end up in this. And this was just the tip of the iceberg. Tip of the iceberg, much more going to unfold. Be prepared to give out. At least, Ya Allah, we can say one thing we did for your deen, we gave our life. We got in prison for your deen. What else we are doing? What foot are we to be ummatis of that Nabi who laid the foundation with blood? This month of sacrifice, we all sacrificed. This wholesome deen which reached us with blood, why must we just urawi day? Why must we just throw it away? A father and grandfather worked hard to build up a big roaring business. Imagine the children and grandchildren down. How hot so? This deen, you can't compare to a business. This deen of Allah Ta'ala and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. where Sahaba Ikram, Anbiya alayhim salam, was so much of sacrifice, they gave their lives to give us this in its pristine form. Are we so foolish and cheap just to ready for something small? No. And as I said, this is just the tip of the iceberg. Is this going to unfold? Badiru bil a'mali fitanan. This is the riwayat in Mishkat, rawahu Muslim. Badiru bil a'mali fitanan ka qita'il layl al mudlim. Or some narrations, they have it like this. Tasbih. If you take a scissors and you just snip this thread on the top, how fast the beads in quick succession without any pause will fall down. Like how the darkness of the night comes so rapidly, you can't even differentiate between right and wrong, right and left. So dark. Fitnas will come so dark that a person who so regular with salah, five times musalli, will start seeing the wrong as right and right and as wrong. And we have seen it. People who outwardly are running Islamic organizations, or who are in the forefront, or who are quite religious with regards to the outward world. But when it came to the test of Iman, it was very easy to sell up. So, وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولَ. I'll conclude with this last part here. فَإِن تَوَلَّيْتُمْ. And if you, in a catch-22 situation, turn away from the Shariat, turn away from the law of Allah Ta'ala, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, فَإِنَّمَا عَلَىٰ رَسُولِنَا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ. The ulama, people of deen, people of haq, have put forward the message to the masses. Decision is yours. وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. Whoever wants, they want to follow the advice of Quran and Hadith, they can follow it. And whoever doesn't, whoever Allah doesn't give tawfiq, they won't end up following. فَإِنْ تَوَلَّيْتُمْ. If you turn away, then upon those who are conveying is to put the message out clear. As a responsibility of the imam, he puts the message out clear to the trustees or to the authorities or whatever, whoever. What they do between them and Allah Ta'ala. As long as the message reached you, you know what you're supposed to do, then what you do, then you are responsible. May Allah Pak give us tawfiq, may Allah Pak save us and our progeny, that we make so much of dua. The challenges are not getting lesser, just magnifying in different forms. Allah protect, guide us, keep us with iman. Keep us with iman and take us with that iman which is accepted in the court of Allah on the day of Qiyamah. Wa akhiru ta'ala.